What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we are talking about my pick of November. And I mistakenly, but also whatever, chose Maxine. It was a mistake because I have on multiple occasions now thought that we've already talked about X, but we haven't.
Nope.
We've only done Pearl.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's
It is
our
what it is.
what's done is done. We were gonna
Yeah.
change it and then we were just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We'll just do it. We'll do X another time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But this is the first time watch for both of us.
Yeah.
We both missed it in theaters, and then I don't know. I was super stoked for it. So, like, whenever it came out on VOD, I was all jazzed up, but then I just never ended up getting it.
Yeah. I
So,
totally
just.
forgot that it was a sequel to X.
Okay.
Like
How'd you
in the sense,
forget?
no, like in the sense, like I know it's part of the trilogy,
Yeah.
but I forgot that it was like a direct continuation of X,
Like you
right?
forgot that Maxine was in X.
Yeah, because it's like, I haven't seen X in like a few years. And
Okay.
then like Maxine took a while to come out, and then didn't watch Maxine, and then like they show the videotape, and I was like, oh shit, like I thought she died in the movie, but apparently not.
She was the only survivor, if I remember
Yeah, and then I
correctly.
remember what happened at the end of
Yeah.
X. Yeah.
Yeah. See, we should have just fucking done X.
It's true, I know. Yeah.
Oh well. But anyways, before we talk about this movie, let's kick off our news and booze. And what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a Nickelbrook Brewing Company Party Dad Crushin' IPA.
Nice. I like
And
that can.
it's only 3.5% though for an
Yeah.
IPA, which is kind of weird. But
Yeah, that is weird.
yeah. What you?
Nice. I'm gonna be boring for a little while.
Okay.
I've started fasting again.
Oh, nice.
So I'm just drinking a peach mango sparkling water because I can't consume anything after 8 o'clock except water, black coffee, or black tea.
Fair.
Yeah, be boring for a little while.
That's all good.
Yeah. All right, what have you watched this week?
This week, so I watched Hot Frosty. I think I mentioned that maybe. Terrible movie. We had a little sleepover slumber party in the basement Friday night, so you throw on Harry
Saw
Potter.
that.
Yeah, fun. Then the next morning watched Speak No Evil from 2024. Yeah, I don't know. It was okay. I don't know why they remade it, honestly.
Yeah.
So yeah.
America.
Yeah. Then randomly threw on Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Nice.
Then our 4Ks came in this week for Godzilla Minus One, so watch that for third time.
How was it on 4K?
It was great.
Yeah.
It is awesome. Yeah. Then I watched Strange Darling from, well, it says 2023, but I think it's a 2024 release.
Yeah.
Pretty good movie. I like the kind of twist in
Mm
it. Kyle Gallner is awesome, and the actress who played the main girl, she did a really good job. I really like the layout of the movie, of how it's like the story is told. I know it's kind of very different. I don't know if you watched it this week, but yeah. So yeah, that's it.
Nice. I watched Strangers Chapter One.
Nice. I was gonna watch that as well.
It was okay. I like how Josh, because whenever I mentioned in our group chat that I was watching it, Josh mentioned that like him and his wife watched it and they enjoyed it and just kind of like forgot that there was an original. And I think like if you can kind of take that out of it, it's okay, but it almost felt like almost a remake.
That's what I heard on a podcast as well.
Like there was nothing really new about it. It just honestly felt like they just changed the characters and just remade the movie. But I mean, it was okay. And yeah, I also watched Strange Darling.
Nice.
And I gave it the same score you did.
Nice.
I did like it. It kind of took a turn and I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah.
But it was
Yeah.
cool. It was good. But yeah, Kyle Gallner. Gallner, he's fucking good in pretty much everything he's in.
Pretty much.
But yeah, slow week for me for movie watching. Well, I guess we just did Tenet like what, 3 days ago?
On Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, 4 days ago. So, all right. I don't really have much for news. All I have is that Terrifier 3 dropped on VOD today. It's only on Apple TV Plus that I could see. It wasn't on Prime.
Oh, okay.
But you can only buy it, you can't rent it, which is kind of a piss off because I have a 4K coming, so I didn't want to buy it on VOD and then have the
Yeah.
4K too.
Right.
But I still haven't seen it yet and I really want to see it, but
Yeah.
probably gonna have to wait until that 4K comes in.
Yeah. When's it release?
Don't know, Amazon's not giving me a date. It just says we'll email you whenever we have a delivery date. Which is annoying, but we'll see. All right, do we have any 4Ks?
Think so. So we got Chicago and Friends.
Sure.
Yeah. Mr. Big. Don't know what that
Sure.
is. Through the Looking Glass.
Okay.
The Tenant. Roman Polanski. 2020 Texas Gladiators.
I don't know what that is, but I want to watch it.
It looks pretty interesting. Bug. The Hunted. Not even gonna try and pronounce that. Zizix Road.
Never heard of that.
Don't know what any of these movies are. Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
That was just on 4K, wasn't it? I feel like
That
we've seen
real?
that on here before.
Think so. Maybe. Hush finally got
Nice.
a physical release.
Sick.
Probably will pick that up. Bones and All. The Shape of Water on the Criterion Collection. And Paper Moon also on Criterion.
Nice.
Yeah. So kind of a not as stacked as of week as last week was.
No, but I do that 2020 Texas Gladiators, that's what it was called.
Something like that, yeah.
I want to see what this is. 2020 Texas, 1983. In a post-apocalyptic Texas, a band of warriors fight against a fascist regime that is trying to take control of all surviving population. It's got a 4.5 on IMDb.
Interesting.
It's directed by Joe D'Amato. Huh. Perhaps I will watch that somewhere. Sounds fun. All right, do you have anything else before we kick this off?
No, don't think so.
All right, let's do it. Okay, like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Maxine from 2024. Starting off with the synopsis. In 1980s Hollywood, adult film star and aspiring actress Maxine Minx finally gets her big break. But as a mysterious killer stalks the starlets of Hollywood, a trail of blood threatens to reveal her sinister past. Wraps it up.
Yeah.
This was directed by Ty West, who has obviously done X and Pearl, which were the predecessors to this movie. He's also done The Innkeepers, which I just did a rewatch a few weeks ago. The House of the Devil and Cabin Fever 2.
Nice.
Our cast, we have Mia Goth as Maxine, reprising her role from X. We have fucking Kevin Bacon in one of my favorite roles of his
Yeah, I
in a
didn't know he
long
was in
time.
this movie.
Me either. So good, man. Then we have Elizabeth Debicki, which, if you listen to our Tenet episode over on Fury Road, she was also in that. She played Elizabeth Bender in this movie. And then Giancarlo Esposito played Teddy Knight.
Yeah, he was a
And
loud character. He looked so different.
yeah, I liked him though. And I have some honorable mentions, but I'll let you do yours first.
I felt like the cameos and like smaller roles were like more of the bigger stars, I felt like. So a very small role. We got Sophie Thatcher, who played the FX artist. And she's on Yellow Jackets. We got Toby Huss, who played the corner. He's kind of more of like you see his face and you'd recognize him. He was in Halt and Catch Fire, King of the Hill, and then Cop Shop from a few years ago. Yeah, that's it for me. I'll let you name the rest.
We have Michelle Monaghan and Bobby Cannavale, who played the two cops in this movie. Halsey, who had a very small role. I thought she was in it a lot more than what she
That's what
actually
I
was.
thought, because I remember someone saying like Halsey was like good in the movie, but it's like she was in it for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, she wasn't very long. Lily Collins was in this. And then I have Larry Fessenden. Fessenden.
Yes. Yeah.
He's a well-known actor from 80s and 90s movies.
Yeah, he's in a lot of like Shudder horror movies.
That's it for me. All right. Let's talk about Mia Goth for a minute.
Okay.
Where is she on your, like, in my opinion, I think she has the most like meteoric rise right now in horror movies. Like, obviously there's her and then there's a couple
Yeah.
others, but I just every like this whole trilogy, she has just gone above and beyond whatever I expected
Yeah.
out of an actress, and like I just think she's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. I think she's just average in this movie.
Yeah, in this one it's
Except for like the like one scene at the very beginning. But I just found like she was just like any other girl in this movie, right?
But I think like that's more writing than anything.
Probably, yeah.
Because I mean, we know what she can do. We saw her in Pearl, and Pearl fucking blew my mind.
Yeah.
And then X, she was really good in a lot of the scenes. So I think this one was more just writing. Like they didn't write her as a crazy character. She's kind of trying to leave that past behind her, sort of thing. But okay. So she's not quite like at the same level for you as she is for me.
No, I don't think. I think she's good, and she's definitely grown and like blown up like since, you know, X and Pearl. And Infinity Pool, right? I think like all those came out, but yeah. I don't know if you listened to the newest HMC episode yet,
I haven't yet, no.
but they were, well, Jess and Seth were like kind of nagging on her because apparently like her accent that she does, like just her regular talking accent, like I guess they didn't like and thought it was like over exaggerated, but yeah. Josh defended her though.
That's
Yeah.
sometimes he can win me over. Sometimes.
But yeah, she's good. I don't think she's like the next Anya Taylor-Joy or, you know, one of these actresses, but yeah.
Okay. That's fair. All right. I just wanted to get your opinion on her.
Sorry for disappointing
You not at all.
you.
Now, if you said she fucking sucks, then I would probably have to
Yeah.
shut this off, but no, that's fair. Okay. All right, let's talk about this movie.
All right. So yes, this is a continuation from X, which I totally forgot about until like halfway in the movie. But this is a back scene from this first movie. We open with like this video from 1959 of her kind of sitting and dancing, and someone in the background kind of like telling her what to do and like very religious. So you learn that it's her father. And now she left Texas and she is in Hollywood trying to become an actress. She is a well-known porn actress in the industry, and she's at an audition for a movie called the was the Pure Purina or Purita
Puritan,
2,
Puritan.
Puritan 2, yeah.
Not the cat food.
No. Yeah, so she's at this audition, and I love this scene. Like, it just this is like the kind of scene where it's like she just takes control of like the whole scene. Well, it's just like focused on her, but like, you know, they ask her to do a scene, and it kind of reminded me of the scene in Pearl whenever she was like auditioning in that. Like, she's like very like confident, and like she knows that she's like the fucking best, and she can do it because like ask her like, you know, you can look over the side and look at the words, and she's like, no, I know the words. And then she's like stops for like 30 seconds and then starts like talking and starts like crying and stuff. And yeah, I thought it was awesome.
I really liked it too because it was like a big fuck you to the producers and the director because they're like, and the casting director because they were like, well, you're an adult film, or it says here that you're an adult film star, and she says, yeah, and they're like, well, what makes you think that you can act in real movies? And then she pulls off that, and it's just like, God damn. And like right away, you can tell that she's kind of got the part, but they haven't said anything. And I love whenever she walks out, she's like, oh, wasn't it? We didn't see it in this scene. We saw it later on, I think.
But she does walk out of this scene, I think, and all the girls are standing there, and she's like, yo, y'all better may as well fucking leave right now because I got the part. I love right after she does it, she's like clearing up her tears and stuff. And then they're just like, can you take your top off? And then she's just like, yep. Yeah. Yeah, this part kind of confused me too, because like she gets the call from her agent, and he's like telling her, like, yeah, I'm sorry, you're just like not a big enough name outside of porn. So I thought that she didn't get the part, but then like she tells her friend, the video store guy, like, oh, I didn't get the part. So that kind of confused me a bit.
No, he said, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Oh, okay.
And she asked for the good or the bad news. And then he, what was it? She didn't get some part.
Oh, okay.
But then she's like, well, what's the good news? And then she finds out that she got that part for the movie.
I love that she has like she carries a gun with her too, because there's this killer that's like on the loose. They call it who's it? What was his name again? The
The Night Stalker.
Night Stalker, which I think is a real killer, right? From
I think so, yeah.
that time, I believe. But this is one part that really bugged me about this movie. I don't think this movie knew what the fuck it was trying to be. Like, to me, like, was it trying to be a Yalo or Jalo movie, whatever the fuck, however you pronounce it, like a Jalo, or like a like murder mystery, or like is it? I don't know. I just felt like it was all over the place. I just felt like the writing was not that good in this one. I couldn't tell what kind of movie it was trying to be.
That's fair. Yeah. I feel like, because like Ty West had a very strong vision for X and for Pearl. And I know that he kind of had them all written and done up all at one time. But yeah, I feel like he kind of lost himself with this one.
Yeah, like the whole story with like John, Kevin Bacon's character, and how he's working for this killer, it just like I don't know, it didn't really make any sense to me. Like, you know, this they introduced the killer at the start, like he's stalking Halsey's character, and like it shows him, like it doesn't show his face, but he's all in like leather and like medicine and stuff, and then introduces like John as like his right-hand man who's like helping this killer, and it's like I don't know, I felt like he was kind of all over the place and didn't really know what he was trying to be.
Yeah, because John Labatt, who is Kevin Bacon's character, he's a private investigator.
Yeah, like why is he, I know he's getting hired to find her in the first place, but then like this guy killed someone, he's like helping him, like he's like, well, I've never seen anyone like actually go ahead and do it. It's like, that's cool, man. And then like he's like helping him like the rest of the movie. Like I don't know, I felt like, yeah.
So Night Stalker was a real serial killer and serial rapist in California.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I watched the Netflix doc that was came out, I think, last year, maybe.
Yeah, he killed at least 13 people. So that was kind of cool how they kind of integrated a real life serial killer with this.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
because like, was there two killers? Like, is the Night Stalker, because we find out later on that there's another, that there's someone else. I don't want to give it away right away, but that there's someone else. But is that person the Night Stalker?
Yeah, see, that's kind of confusing too, because like there's the Night Stalker happening, and then well, that happens later, but Amber and I forget the other girl's name, Halsey's character.
Yeah, what was her name?
They get killed by the person that was like following Halsey's character, and the cops find them in like a park, and they have like these brands on them, like satanic brands, and the cops say it's like, oh, this wasn't the Night Stalker. This killer is trying to make it look like it's the Night Stalker. Because I don't think the Night Stalker was actually ever caught. I don't think. Like in real life, I don't think the Night Stalker was ever caught. So I think that they kind of like changed, like flipped it to where like, okay, we forget about the Night Stalker. Now it's just about this person that's killing these girls and putting the brands on them.
He was caught.
Oh, he was okay.
Yeah, Richard Ramirez.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, because like the killer at the end of the movie has a motive, right? Like he's targeting specific people
Yeah.
for his own.
Movie.
Well, yeah, true. He is
Yeah.
making a kind of a movie out of it, right? But so yeah. I guess there's two serial killers on the loose at the same time, but they
But
kind of
they.
intertwine and you kind of
Yeah.
lose who's doing what.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I love this scene as well. Whenever, you know, Maxine is like walking home by herself, and she's just talking with Halsey's character, like, oh, about how there's like the Night Stalker, so like, you know, just go home right away. And then Maxine just goes down a dark alley by herself. It's like, okay, seems smart. But then we see someone following her, and she gets trapped in the alleyway, and it's like this guy dressed as like Buster Keaton. Yeah, this movie, fucking some of the scenes in this, oh man. Did not expect this. That
This one was fucking rough, man.
was,
Whoa.
yeah.
This one jumped off my couch.
Yeah. So this guy's like in the alley and she's like stuck and he has like a switchblade and he's coming towards her, and then she just pulls a gun and he immediately like changes character. He's like, please don't kill me. Like, it's just a joke. But it's like, okay, man, you pulled a knife on her. You clearly aren't joking. And she's like, tells him like, okay, get on your knees and get undressed. So he gets undressed and like he puts the gun in his mouth to like suck it like a dick. And then she's like, okay, get on the ground and face down, ass up. And he's like begging her, please don't kill me. And then she's just like, do you know what I did to the last guy who tried to kill me? I smashed his head. And then it just like has an overshot of his ass, and his balls are hanging out behind his ass. And she just fucking winds up and crushes his balls, and it does not go away. Like, it's like on there. Do you see his balls explode? Oh, man.
Brutal.
That was brutal.
Absolutely brutal. I My sick mind thought she was gonna like sodomize him with the gun. And
Right.
this is worse, man. This is
Yeah.
so much worse.
Well, Bettina's upstairs cooking dinner, and like this happened. I was like, oh, and she's like, what? And I was like, oh, something nasty just happened. She's
She said,
like,
come on
she
down.
was like, what? I was like, she just smashed his balls, and she was like, you probably deserved it. And I was like, well, he kind of did, actually.
Yeah. So keep that in mind if you ever pull a switchblade on a girl in an alley. This could happen to you.
So she gets home, there's a package left at her door, and she puts it on, and it's the sex tape from the first movie, X, whenever she was filming the sex tape. And I don't know why, like, maybe there's more to the movie that we didn't see, but like she immediately runs into her room, and like her friend from the video store downstairs is there with her. And she just kind of like takes it out, leaves immediately, and he's like, "You okay?" And she's like, "Yeah." I was like, "What was on that tape?" That I was like, "So, like, why does she want people to see?" Like, I know she did some stuff in Texas, but like, how is this gonna like, prove that she did it?
Well, it puts her at the scene, and it was an unreleased tape, right? Because like they were there to film that porno at the farm, and then everybody died, so the film never got released. So I think it kind of puts her at the scene because she's trying to. Nobody knows about her being there except for the PI. So I don't think her friends, any of her friends, know that she was there. And
No,
like she's trying to make a name for herself now in Hollywood, right? So if she has
yeah,
her
that's
name
true.
attached to this, like that's career suicide.
So we see Tappy and Amber are taken hostage. Not hostage, but they're captured, and then they're eventually killed. I like the scene with Maxine and the VFX artist, where she like is doing the mask, and she's like, okay, like stay still, I'll be back, and like immediately Maxine is like very like thinking about stuff, and like the old ladies like behind her like feeling her boobs, and like all the fucking goop is like melting down. I thought it was cool.
I think, yeah, because I think what this was symbolizing, like the way that all the stuff was like gooping down, it was kind of giving her like jowls and like loose skin is kind of what it looked like. Because remember in X, she was so afraid of like getting old. And now she's getting older and she had this shit on her face and it was kind of dripping down and it made her look old. So I don't know if that's what they were going for or not, but that's kind of what I took from it. One thing too, I want to touch on Tabby and Amber, and then later on, Lily Collins' character. They keep talking about this party at this mansion that's up on the hill, and they keep wanting Maxine to go with her. And eventually, Maxine gets an invitation to go to the same house, and she declines it, doesn't go to it. But it ends up being the guy who we find out later on is the killer.
So she's leaving the set, and there's a note left in her car, to call this number for a good time. She calls, and it's John, the PI. He knows about Texas, knows about what she did and or where she was. And basically says like, you'll never work again in the town if you don't show up at this party where he's at. So the detectives, they find the bodies with like the branding on it. And I love the sets in this movie too, because like Elizabeth shows her like the Bates Motel or the Psycho set. I thought that was really cool how they kind of had that in there. She keeps seeing Pearl in the window as well. I thought that was cool, kind of call back to Psycho. She attacks John. I love when he's sitting in the car and she just fucking starts punching the fuck out of
Dude, I thought she was dreaming that that happened, and then fuck, it
him.
turns out she actually did it. Like, that is ballsy.
She busted him up good.
Yeah, she cuts the fucking keys between her fingers and just starts wailing on him.
Like the guy must be paying John like a shit ton of money. Like if Like he's so invested in her and is like, wants her dead basically. It's like almost like he's the hired hitman, right? Because he's trying to like kill her the whole time, basically, right? Especially after this when she punches the fuck out of him. Yeah, her friend at the video store, he ends up getting killed. These like few scenes that had the horror in it, I thought was done pretty well because like I can't say I've ever seen someone be slit on the back of the neck like
Yeah,
that,
that's kind of cool.
right? And I love the way that like the camera and like the kind of film like changes like more to like that 70s 80s kind of style like in those scenes. But like cuts his like eye like a huge cut in his face and stabs him a bunch. Yeah.
I love, well, I shouldn't say I love it, but so the next day, Maxine's on the phone with her agent, I think.
Yeah.
And she hears all these sirens and sees all the lights like down below, because she lives like right above the video store, right? And she looks out the window and she's like, I gotta go. And she runs downstairs and she sees them bringing a body out on a stretcher, and it's all
Yeah.
covered up with a white fucking sheet, just covered in blood. And
Yeah.
there's all these people standing around, and then fucking Michelle Monaghan looks right at her and then lifts the fucking sheet up, and it's just a bloody mess. He's got that big slit down his face,
Yeah.
just covered in blood. And there's like 50 other people standing around watching. I was like,
I
what the
know.
fuck?
I had the same reaction. I couldn't believe it. It's like, if you want to get her to talk, ask her to come to the station and be like, hey, can you identify this body? Instead
Yeah.
of like, oh, here are 50 people, here's this fucked up body. Like,
Now
Jesus.
you're all traumatized.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I couldn't believe that they did that in public too. Like, holy. But he has the brand on his face as well. Because he runs a porn video store. So she's at the set and John is chasing her through the set. They get to the psycho house and he gets kind of carried away, and then she sees the director Elizabeth and she tells Maxine like, hey, this movie means a hell of a lot to me. Like, it's not just some shitty sequel, like I want this to be the next thing. And she basically says to Maxine like, you better squash whatever you have interfering with this movie. And then Maxine is like, I plan to, or something like that.
Such great foreshadowing.
It is, yeah. And then from here, John's still chasing after her, and she's at a club, and she got like this like makeup on, and she's all dolled up, and she like kind of lures him away into the bathroom and knocking the doors, and like these toilets are fucking nasty.
Oh,
Holy
dude,
shit.
so gross. Like, fuck
Not
me,
even
man.
usable, man.
No. Just shit all over the place. Full toilet paper.
But she escapes through the bathroom window and he's like, ah, fuck, and he goes out, and I love this because he like gets out to like the
Like a
loading
loading
dock.
dock, yeah.
Yeah. And like these lights come on as the car, and Max is like standing in front of the car, and it's her agent that's in the car. And then I forget what John says, but then out of nowhere, the other like porn actor from the movie, he comes out from behind like with a baseball bat or a metal pipe or something, and just smashes John in the back of the head.
That fall too off the loading dock, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
Jesus. He like fell down like a sack of potatoes, like 5 feet to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. So that John wakes up handcuffed to a car. And then he realizes Dean is a fucking car crusher at a junkyard. And he's just like screaming, like, don't kill me. I don't want to die here. Like, you can buy me too. And just Maxine is just like smiling. And just like the actors like has these fucking two big Doberman dogs. And Giancarlo's standing there, like very reminiscent of fucking Breaking Bad, right? Like, and they just see like the thing come down and just crush them, and yeah, that was great.
It was a good scene. I liked it. And then I like it, like So she's done her part, and then they're both like, okay, get out of here. We'll clean up the mess.
Yeah.
Don't waste any more time here than you need to.
Yeah. This is one thing that bothered me too, about the ending. She knows that the killer was at this house in the house, right? Why doesn't she bring those two with her?
Well, yeah, someone, the cops.
She goes alone. Like, the cops end up showing up because they follow her there. But it's like, why not bring those two who just helped you kill him? You know that the killer is here who killed two of your friends. Like, why are you going alone? And then the cops don't call for backup. They just.
There is a few parts in this shootout that happens. I just like shaking my head.
Yeah.
Cause so I don't know. Yeah, I'll get to it whenever we get to that part, but
Well, yeah, we're pretty much here, but yeah, like she gets like into the house and there's like the TV playing of the video from the beginning, and he says that he's like making a movie, and it's her dad from Texas. He followed her here to try and take her back and get rid of all the Satanism and inside of her, and yeah, I know all that crap.
Yeah, so he's like created a cult of
Yeah.
all other parents whose children have kind of ran away to Hollywood to become actors. And now they're all, they think that they've been touched by Satan because they're in Hollywood and.
Who was in that suitcase that
I
fell
don't
in?
know
Was
who
that,
that was.
yeah, it made it look like it was someone like significant that we should have known, but like I didn't, I had no idea who it was.
I'm wondering if it was the actress that Lily Collins played, because she mentions
Was
in
that the
her
one that
trailer.
like in the scene where she's like eating something, and then like the director like grabs like a bucket full of blood and just like smears her face? Was it that girl, that actress, like the
Yeah.
main one?
Like, because Maxine and her are talking, like, she's in her trailer on the
Yeah.
movie set. And she's just standing in the doorway of her trailer. I think it was her that had the
Maybe it
blood
was
smeared
her
on her.
who, yeah, maybe, yeah.
Because she had mentioned that she was invited to this mansion up in the hills.
Right. But then the dad puts a bag over her head and she gets knocked out, and she wakes up on like a tree outside by the pool, and there's like all these fucking cult people outside, and he's about to branch her, and then the cops showed up, and it seems like they have everything under control, but then like the main dad is like kind of talking to his followers and saying, don't listen to like these people, follow what we came here to do, and they all like fucking pull these big shotguns and guns and just like this massive shoot off between everyone. I love that the dad gets like caught on fire then like jumps in the pool.
Takes off running.
Yeah.
The one scene in this part that made me shake my head and like kind of laugh to myself just because it was such horrible writing. The two cops are hiding behind this like big ledge.
Yeah.
Like it's impossible for them to get shot unless they stick their head up. And they're both crouched down hiding. And then Michelle Monaghan's like, cover me, I need to reload. And it was just terrible acting, first of all, and terrible
Yeah.
writing because, like, you don't need cover. There's nobody
Yeah.
there.
Yeah.
You are already covered by this huge ledge.
So then they're down by the Hollywood sign, and Torres and ends up getting shot, and I love, what was his name, Bobby Canales or whatever,
Cannibal.
Cannavale, yeah, sorry. I love that he's like sitting there dying. He's like, I've been in a cop for 30 years. I wanted to be an actor too. I've never been up here to this sign, and he ends up dying. And then, I think the other cop, named Williams, I think, she like just comes out of nowhere. Around the corner, she had this fucking cross on her eye, and she's like, I got him, I got him, and then just like falls down the hill. And it's like, okay, is she dead? Is she alive? Like, what? Yeah. And then it's kind of like going back and forth between like the premiere of the movie. I don't know if Maxine was like dreaming this, like as she was standing there. because it kind of goes back and forth, right? Because it's like at the premiere of the movie and she's like this big star, but then like it cuts to like her staying over her dad with a shotgun, all the cops and like a helicopter, like, you know, cops are here, blah blah blah. And then she said, what was the line from the beginning of the movie?
I will not accept a life that I do not deserve.
Yeah, like they say it together and then she just fucking blasts his head off like
And
with a
it doesn't
shotgun. And
shy away from that
no, it doesn't. No,
one
just fucking explosion.
Yeah. But that's a recurring line that happens throughout the trilogy too.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it wasn't in Pearl. I can't remember if it was in Pearl or not. But it was in X, like
Probably was.
yeah, whenever she's looking at herself in the mirror and hyping herself up for one of her scenes, that's what she's saying to herself in the mirror. I'm gonna be a fucking star.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
But I think with it going to the premiere and whatnot, while she's in this frame of mind, I think it's her kind of like envisioning what she wants for the future and knowing that she can't have that if
Yeah.
she doesn't do this,
Yeah.
if she doesn't get rid of her dad, because he's not going to stop, right? Like,
Yeah.
he's crazy enough to continue on with this. The movie does end up getting made, and she does become a star because it's very critically acclaimed.
That's the way the blood splatters.
All right, before we started recording, you said we have two very different scores, so I
Yes.
want to hear how you rated this movie.
Okay. For story, I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
I just, like I said at the beginning, I just don't know what this movie was trying to be. It felt like a mixture of a whole bunch of genres, which like isn't always a bad thing, but I just feel like in this, like the writing was, I think, very poor. The acting was like good but not okay. Like Mia Goth was fine, Kevin Bacon was awesome, but I felt like everyone else, I don't know, was just okay. The characters, I felt like they didn't learn anything about anyone in the movie, really, about like, of course, it's all about Maxine. She's the star of the movie, but like, you didn't really learn about any of her friends or like her agents or any of that stuff. Like, there's little things to learn about how they discovered her and stuff like that. But I don't know, I just felt like this is definitely the weakest of the three, by far, in my opinion. Quality, I'll give a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Wonderfully shot movie. The style of it, I thought, was done really well. The music and stuff was good. Yeah, so I'll go to 6 out of 10.
Okay. All right. My story gave it a 6 out of 10. I said it's a solid continuation of Maxine's story from X with some good callbacks to the predecessor, but ultimately this didn't really wow me in terms of the story. And also, in my opinion, it's the weakest movie in the trilogy. I wasn't a fan of the ending and the way everything ended with her dad being a religious cult leader. I just feel like that was too easy of an ending, and I wanted a stronger finish to this story that I've grown to love over these past couple of years. But I was very happy to see that Pearl and Maxine finally became the stars that they always wanted to be. Quality, I gave it an 8 out of 10. I said, as always, Mia Goth was great, as were her co-stars. This is one of my favorite Kevin Bacon roles in a very long time. I thought he was amazing as John Labatt. Visually, this movie was stunning, and the soundtrack was everything you could hope for in a movie set in the 80s. There wasn't a whole lot of gore, but what we saw of it was really well done and super realistic. Like that ball stomp.
Yeah, that was, yeah, that's pretty good.
So, yeah, 2 points on top of both of yours. 6 out of 10 and an 8 out of 10. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus: intoxicating with its maximal, with three X's, style. Maxine is an uneven but vibrant pastiche that drives a stiletto through Hollywood's heart. I don't know what a pastiche is.
Neither.
Pistachio. Let's find out. Let's find out what pastiche means. Pastiche. Meaning. An artistic work in a style that imitates that of another work, artist, or period. Neat. All right, so based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say a 63.
Oof, 72. That's on 278 ratings and an average score of 6.5 out of 10. There's also an audience consensus on this one. Mia Goth returns as the eponymous, yeah, whatever, Maxine Fatale in this third installment that, if slightly riding off the coattails of its predecessors, still delivers much anticipated glitz and gore. And the audience score is a 64%, which is closer to what you gave it or what you thought. That's on 1,000 ratings at an average score of 3.6 out of 5 or a 7.2 out of 10.
All right.
Letterboxed.
Letterboxd has a 3.1 out of 5. I gave it a 2 out of 5, and you gave it a 3.5. Scream in Cinema gave it a 3.5 as well. Jess from HMC also gave it a 3.5. Slash a Cap'n gave it a 3 out of 5. I don't think Josh logged it on Letterboxd. I don't know if he's even using it anymore. Anthony gave it a 2.5. Cinemonster gave it a 2.5. That's pretty much that's it.
Would you say you gave it?
Two.
Two.
Yeah.
It's fair. I don't remember what I gave Pearl and X.
Pretty sure you gave Pearl 5 or 4.5,
Yeah.
four and a half,
Yeah.
and I'm not sure about.
I think, yeah, Pearl was my highest, and then X was like half a star lower than that, I think is how it was. But yeah, kind of a disappointing ending to the trilogy. Like he came out so strong with X and then really ramped it up with Pearl, in my opinion. Well, yours too, I think.
You gave 4.5 to X.
4.5 to X, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know, maybe on a rewatch we'll like it a little bit more. Who knows?
Maybe.
By the sounds of it though, I don't think you're gonna be rewatching it anytime soon.
Probably not.
All right, you ready for the scare section? Okay, what did you give this for a scare rating?
Great, I'll give it a 2 out of 10. I felt like this is more of like a thriller than a horror movie. Yeah, like some pretty grotesque parts in it, obviously, but as far as like scares, not very scary. So, 2 out of 10. Scary scene. I mean, it's got to be that ball stomp. That was fucking nasty. No question. And would I survive? Yeah, I think so, because I don't know. There's no really killer, like, I'm not making out there making adult porn, so I mean, I'm watching them, so maybe that is a sin,
Maybe if you're in that video store.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know. That's yeah, I think I will survive, yeah. What about you?
My scare rating, I gave it a 3 out of 10.
Nice.
Much like you, like it's not really a scary movie, but there's really good gore for what we do see of it. And like it's a decent whodunit type horror movie. We got two serial killers on the loose at the same time, so scary scene, yeah. The cracked nuts, man. Like, as a man watching that scene, it's like Jesus
Yeah.
Christ. Not quite as bad as that scene in Antichrist, but it's up there. Would I survive? Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I'm not making porn. I'm not a Hollywood star or anything like that. So there'd be no reason for me to get killed, unless I get in the way. I don't know. Get out there and save Queen Mia. All right, this was my pick, so that means it's your pick for our next movie.
It is, yes.
What do you got on the docket?
So we didn't really discuss, it is December, we didn't really discuss about doing
It's true.
Christmas movies.
It's true.
But I did pick one.
Okay.
So our one of our latest episodes, we redid Midsommar. Well, we will be redoing a past one in a sense.
Okay.
We'll be talking about 2006 Black Christmas.
I knew you were gonna say that.
You
Fucking hell. All right.
know,
All right.
I've seen people have come around in this movie lately.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since like it came out, but yeah.
This isn't the one that's like really shitty, right? Because there was Black Christmas in 2006, and didn't they do like a Black Xmas?
Oh, did they? Hold on.
Oh no, no, you're right. This is a shitty one. Well, it's one that people hated originally.
Yeah, this was one that has Mary Elizabeth Winstead in it.
Yeah, and Michelle Trachtenberg.
This one, yeah.
Lacey Chabert.
What was the other one you said? Black Xmas?
No, I think I was just thinking of this one.
Okay.
Because on the cover it says Black
All
Xmas.
right. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. That'll be a fun one at least.
Yeah.
We
So,
can maybe we'll come around on
maybe. Yeah.
it. All right, cool. So yeah, I mean, sure, December we'll do our Christmas theme. We do it every year, right? So
Yeah.
why not continue it?
And then maybe, I don't know, Terrify 3 may be available by then, just saying.
Ooh. Ooh, maybe. Good idea. All right, cool. Yeah, so come back in a couple weeks. Hear us talk about Black Christmas from 2000, what, six? 2006. In the meantime, if you want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, guys. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
Bye.